to see each one of you back in the Lord's house tonight. Would you stand, please? Let's turn to page 305 as we begin tonight. Page number 305, good old song, He Set Me Free. We'll sing all three verses as we begin tonight. Page 305. Once like a bird in prison I dwelt, no freedom from my sorrow I felt. But Jesus came and listened to me, and glory to God, He set me free. He set me free, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus, to see. For glory to God, He set me free. Now I am climbing higher each day. Darkness of night has drifted away. My feet are planted on higher ground, and glory to God, I'm homeward bound. He set me free, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus, to see. For glory to God, He set me free. Goodbye to sin and things that confound. Not of this world shall turn me around. Daily I'm walking, I'm praying too, and glory to God I'm going through. He set me free, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus, to see. For glory to God, He set me free.
Amen.
Well, I'm telling you, if you had a nap, that'll get your blood flowing right there. Amen. What a blessing. Sure glad you're here tonight. Looking forward to the linger longer after the service tonight. And so trust you brought some finger foods. If you didn't, that's fine too. I'm sure there'll be plenty. But let's linger longer tonight, all right, and have some fellowship and a good time in the Lord. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight and ask God's blessing on our services. I'm going to ask Brother Will Kennedy if you would pray for us tonight. Amen. Why don't you be seated tonight? I did just want to mention a few quick announcements. Of course, we did get the basket set up for Madeline Parker, the gift card basket for her soon arrival, Lord willing. And so, but if you'd like to be a blessing to Jack and Lizzie, and certainly baby Madeline as she makes her way here, you can do that. It's a gift card basket back there on the outer table, and that will be here through April the 14th. Of course, we have our Linger Longer tonight. We'll have our regular services this coming Wednesday night. And then this coming Friday night, March the 22nd, is our annual youth rally. We'll be having Brother Sam Davison from Heartland Baptist Bible College and Southwest Baptist Church there in Oklahoma City, as well as Glory Bound from Heartland Baptist Bible College. They will be here as well. And so we're going to start feeding the youth groups about 6:30, and then the services will be at 7:30 that night. If you'd like to be here and help, we could certainly use you for that. And then, of course, if you'd like to just enjoy the services, you're more than welcome to come for that. Also, out in the outer foyer, there's some sign-up sheets for things that we need help with. And so things that you can bring by, you need to bring those by Thursday, I believe it is. It's on the sign-up sheet. And so we would appreciate your help with that. Heartland Baptist Bible College, the Glory Bound Quartet, is going to be staying over through next Sunday morning services as well. And so they're going to be doing some special music in our Sunday school time as well as our morning services. And then one of the young men, Brother Corey Weirs, is going to be teaching a combined adults as well as the teen class. And then Brother Jonathan Switzer, our missionary to South Africa, who is the sponsor of the group, is going to be preaching Sunday morning. So looking forward to that. I know that will be a blessing to you. And then don't forget about church family, the Lord's Supper, which is March the 26th on a Tuesday. We will be having our regular services that following Wednesday. And then, of course, if you have kids in Faith Baptist School, the Easter break, March 27th through the 31st. And then sure excited about our Easter Sunday. And that'll be March the 31st. And we'll be having an Easter cantata by the choir that day. And so looking forward to that. I mentioned this morning a couple of things here and just wanted to mention them tonight. If you do have one of these little bookmarker things and you're using this to kind of, you know, keep your calendar straight and all of that, I did want to mention there's a change to the yearly schedule. Our fall revival was scheduled October the 6th through the 11th with Brother Chris Dallas, but due to some ministry changes and schedule conflicts and things like that, he's no longer going to be with us, and those are no longer going to be the dates for our fall revival. So our new dates are October the 13th through the 18th. And our guest preacher is going to be Brother Jeff Hastings that pastors the Bible Baptist Church there in Columbia, Missouri. They're actually about to celebrate their 20th year as a church there. I was in some of the first services at the Days Inn Hotel when that church got started. And boy, God has sure used him in a mighty way, him and his family. And looking forward to him being here with us. If you notice some resemblances in the preaching and things like that, that is because we trained under the same guy. So we are brothers from another mother, so to speak, I guess, or however you want to say that. If you would like to invite somebody to the youth rally, you can certainly do that. There's these flyers right here. Also wanted to mention this just really quickly. Our missions conference this year is April the 10th through the 14th. That's, of course, next month. Our guest preacher is going to be Brother Terry Randolph. So Brother Terry and Miss Mickey Randolph are going to be able to be with us this year. Miss Mickey, the last time we had them scheduled, she was dealing with breast cancer, but praise the Lord, she's doing really great. And was able to see her last month at the GIBF meeting. Our guest missionaries are going to be the Stephen Sandala family to the Czech Republic, and they are out of First Baptist Church up in Mission, Kansas. And then also the Gus Ludke family that are going to the Independent Baptist Builders, and they are out of Smoky Valley Baptist Church there in Lindsborg, Kansas. Brother Jeff Quigley is the pastor there. And then no strangers to us, Jack and Lizzie Parker are going to be our missionaries as well, because this is probably going to be their last missions conference, Lord willing. So we want them to certainly be at home for ours, amen. And so excited for that. But a reason I mentioned that, I've had several people asking that, and you nosy people, now you know. Amen.
Baptist people nosy? No. All right, let's all stand. Turn to page 298. Heaven came down. Page number 298. We'll sing all three verses together tonight. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Lifted up on the first. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. After I wandered in darkness away, Jesus my Savior I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling, with joy I am telling, He made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Born of the Spirit with life from above, into God's family divine. Justified fully through Calvary's love, oh what a standing is mine. And the transaction so quickly was made, when as a sinner I came. Took of the offer of grace he did proffer, he saved me, oh praise his dear name. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. now I've a hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions sublime. And it's because of that wonderful day when as a cross I believe, riches eternal and blessings supernal from His precious hand I received. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul when at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Amen. It's always a blessing to see everyone singing. I tell you, it's a great blessing when I look out and I see all our little ones singing too. And just singing right along. What a blessing that is. And I can hear you. So keep singing. You all are doing a great job. All around, over here, over there, I can hear all of you. Great job. And I know that the Lord's pleased with that. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Micah Quinlan, if you would pray for the offerings tonight, please. Amen. You may be seated tonight. I belong to Jesus and Jesus belongs to me. I love the rest of that song. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Praise the Lord. If you know the Lord is your Savior, it's forever. Amen. Let's stand one last time. Turn to page 294 for our last song. Verses 1, 4, and 5 tonight. My Savior's love. Page 294. I stand amazed in the presence. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how He could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows, He made them His very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. When with the ransomed in glory His face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of His love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Thank the Lord for His love tonight. You may be seated. Wonderful singing tonight. Just before the message, we're going to have a special from the Wisdom family tonight.
Good day. done. He was guilty, everyone could see. But his destiny was changed as he looked at Christ and said, "When your kingdom comes, remember me." In paradise that day he stood, just like the Lord had said he would, surrounded by those who had gone before. One said, "Friend, how did you come? What are the deeds you have done?" With tears in his eyes, I can hear him reply, "There are no merits to my name, no works that I can claim. You brought me here, told me to say,
I have come by the way of the cross. I have come by the way the cross. It is nothing I have done, it's the suffering of God's Son. I have come by the way of the cross.
I have nothing to claim but my guilt and my shame. Hopelessly lost, I could not find my way. Till his glorious light of love shone down on me. His mercy washed all my sin away. And what he did for me that day was a price I could not pay. And by his grace, I too can say,
I have come by the way of the cross. I have come by the way of the cross. It is nothing I have done, it's the suffering of God's Son. I have come by the way. Kindred and tongue, those redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, as they cast their crowns down at his feet. This will be my story, this will be my song.
A blessing right there. Well, if you were here this morning, I think it'd be fair to say we've seen strange things today. Amen. In a good way. Amen. And what a blessing. What a blessing. Tell you what's neat is to see Seth and Christy celebrate their 23rd anniversary today. Is it 23rd? Wedding anniversary today. And what a blessing to see their whole family up there singing. Good stuff tonight. Amen. Been a good day in the Lord's house, and I'll try not to ruin it tonight. Amen. Take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to 1 Samuel and chapter number 9 tonight. 1 Samuel and chapter number 9. And if you're able to stand, let's all stand in honor of God's Word tonight. So if you remember in the last chapter, and I do, I love the study of the kings and the prophets. And if you were in the last chapter, we saw where there's quite a transition. Israel is no longer a theocracy. They want to be a monarchy. They want to be a king like everybody else. And so, and of course, that's being opposed to God being their king. And so Samuel transitioned from being the last judge to now being the first prophet. And so though Samuel was old, we know this, his sons had perverted the judgment of God. Israel couldn't trust that just as God raised up a man in Samuel, God could raise up another man. But instead, they wanted to do things in their own way. You know, I would say to you tonight this, the moral of the story is that Israel would have been much better off had they kept God as their king, just like we'd be a lot better off. We kept God as our king. But that's what Israel wanted. So welcome to chapter 9. We get our introduction to our first king that many of you know would be Saul tonight. So 1 Samuel chapter number 1 tonight, or 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse number 1. Mercy. Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bechoroth, the son of Aphiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and a goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. And I'm telling you, it was real close to saying gooder, wasn't it? But also notice from his head, from his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to Saul, his son, take now one of the servants with thee and arise and go seek the asses. And he passed through Mount Ephraim and passed through the land of Shalisha, and they found them not. And then they passed through the land of Shalem, and they were not. And he passed through the land of the Benjamites, and they found them not. And when they were come to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant that was with him, come and let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses and take thought for us. And he said unto him, behold, now there is in the city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. I think that's what it should be. I think a man of God should be an honorable man. And all that he saith comes surely to pass. Now let us go thither peradventure. He can show us our way that we should go. So in verse number 7, then said Saul to his servant, but behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessels, and there's not a present to bring the man of God. What have we? Well, he takes coffee. Well, that's not what he said. Sorry. Verse number 8, and the servant answered Saul again and said, behold, I have here at hand the fourth part of a shekel of silver. That will I give the man of God to tell us our way. Before time in Israel, when the man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, come, let us go to the seer. For he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer. So Samuel is now a prophet. Look at verse 10. Then said Saul to his servant, well said, come and let us go. So they went into the city where the man of God was, and as they went up there, they found young maidens going out to draw water, and they said unto them, is the seer here? And they answered them and said, he is. Behold, is before you. He is before you. Make haste now. And for he came today to the city, for there is a sacrifice of the people in the day in the high place. As soon as you become into the city, you shall straightway find him before he go up to the high place to eat. For the people will not eat until he come, because he doth bless the sacrifice, and afterwards they eat that be bidden. Now therefore, get you up, for about this time you shall find him. And they went up into the city. And there they were come into the city. Behold, Samuel came out against them for to go up to the high place. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, tomorrow about this time I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people, because their cry is come unto me. And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, behold, the man whom I spake to thee of, this same
shall reign over my people. So this is the way I put it tonight. Chapter 9 begins with the introduction of Saul and his character. It will end with the calling, his calling to be the first king of Israel. So here's the way I put it tonight. Character comes before calling. Because character matters to God. The title of the message tonight is Character Matters. And I realize probably none of us are going to be the president. Boy, that would be awesome though, wouldn't it? But I do know this. It has always been my desire that I would be exalted and God would use me for His honor and His glory. Does that make sense? I don't mean that to sound like a prideful thing. I want to just be used for God's glory. And that requires exaltation, for God to take me and pick me up and use me for His honor and His glory. And if I desire for God to do that, then I've got to follow the pattern. And that means this, I've got to have character first. Father, would you bless the preaching now, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you be seated tonight. The story is told of a prosecuting attorney in a small town courthouse called his first witness, an elderly woman, to the stand. And he approached her and asked, "Mrs. Jones, do you know me?" And she responded, "Why, yes, I do know you, Mr. Williams. I've known you since you were a young boy, and frankly, you've been a big disappointment to me." Grandmas have a way of telling the truth on things like that, don't they? "You lie, you cheat, you manipulate people and talk about them behind their backs. You think you're a rising big shot, but you haven't the brains to realize that you will never amount to anything more than a two-bit paper pusher. Yes, I know you." The lawyer was stunned. And not knowing really what else to do, he looked across the room and he asked, "Mrs. Jones, do you know the defense attorney?" To which she replied, "Why, of course I do. I know Mr. Bradley since he was a youngster too. I used to babysit him, and he too has been a real disappointment to me. He's lazy, bigoted, has a drinking problem. The man can't build a normal relationship with anyone, and his law practice is one of the shoddiest in the entire state. Yes, I know him." At this point, the judge wrapped the courtroom to silence with his gavel, called both of the lawyers to the bench, and in a very quiet voice, he said with menace, "If either of you ask that she knows me, I will hold you in contempt of court." I thought that was a great story. Character is the mental and moral qualities distinctive to an individual. In the case of this small town courthouse, it's pretty obvious these men had none. Mrs. Jones made that very clear. However, character needs to get back to being held in high regard by God's people. I think, and I don't want to try to chase rabbits tonight and vent too much, but I think that we are definitely in this day and age in our culture, and especially in the realm of Christendom and all of that, to where we have taken the grace of God and we are using it as a way to justify our lack of character. When we need to get back to holding character in high regard, because not only is it important to our testimony to the lost, but we also find in Saul and in David's life, the next two kings and men that we will certainly study greatly in the kings and the prophets, we're going to find out that character, what was the key, was key in them being exalted by God and God using these men, placing them on the throne of Israel. David, the Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. I love that about David. And here we find the character of Saul being revealed in the Scripture before God would make known His calling on his life. I think many of us tonight, we know the story of Saul, as Samuel pointed out later on, will point out later on in 1 Samuel chapter 15. We know this. Saul started out well. but he didn't finish good. Saul started out well when he was humble and thought little of himself. And this is where we are at in the scriptures. However, Saul would not finish in a right manner, and he would end up rejecting God. And as a result, God would reject him and would reject him as king. And thus we find another truth about character. Character is needed for the calling, but character must also be kept to maintain the calling. But with that being said, I want to say this tonight. I want to be very clear here. Some commentators have taken it upon themselves to say this, that Saul was God's punishment to Israel for rejecting him as king. And while I understand the sovereignty of God tonight, the foreknowledge of God, I don't believe that was God's intention in choosing Saul here. You understand? I don't believe that God sets people up to fail. I'm just telling you, the truth is God gave every chance to Saul for him to succeed. It was no doubt his humble character that would put him in this place to reign over Israel, but eventually it was his poor character that would cost him the throne of Israel. You understand what I'm saying to you tonight? And so here's the point in dealing with all of this. As you and I examine this character of Saul tonight, don't dismiss it because we know the end. Because we say things like, well, we know what's going to happen. Saul's going to mess up. So this part of his life really isn't that important. The reality is, as Samuel will declare in 1 Samuel 15, this was the good part. And if Samuel declared that through the inspiration of the Word of God, and even would pin it down in 1 Samuel chapter 9, then I'm saying to you tonight, his character is worthy of our attention. And certainly, if you don't get anything tonight, understand the principle that it's important to have this kind of character, because if we want God to exalt us, if we want God to use us, then we've got to understand character matters to God. And if it matters to Him, then we need it in our life. So let me give you three, just some things tonight that I observed as I went down through here. I realize it's quite a lengthy passage, but a lot of it is just simply storytelling and kind of filling us in on the things, that details of what's taking place here as God lines up the paths of Saul and Samuel for him to be anointed king. But there's really some tremendous things right here that we could point out about Saul's character as we're introduced to him tonight. Look at verses 1 and 2 here, and this is what I would say to you tonight. Number one, if you want to consider the subject of character and that it mattered to God, listen to this. God cares, number one tonight is this, God cares far more about inward character than He does outward appearance. Look at verse number one here. There was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, and I'm not going to try to read his grandfather and and all his lineage there, but he was a Benjamite and a mighty man of power in verse number one. And then in verse number two, and he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and a goodly, and there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. And so verse number one begins by introducing us to the lineage of Saul, and particularly his father Kish. But then here in verse number two, we're introduced to Saul, and his character was that God said this, he was a choice young man and a goodly. Now I realize today we don't walk around and go, man, he's a goodly. She's a goodly, isn't she? Boy, I'm telling you. Be in fact, he goes on to say this, he was goodlier than any other person. He was just gooder, wasn't he? And so, you know, but here's the thing. Since it mentions this quality of goodly here on a couple of different occasions, I think it'd be worth our time here to note what it means. And here's what it means tonight. It means this. He was good. Mind blown. You ever been in a conversation with somebody and maybe another person's name came up that you knew or they knew or something like that, and you said something, yeah, he's a good guy. He's just a really good guy. You know what I mean? Or maybe a lady, I don't know if ladies talk, we discovered the other day that, you know, that men and women just talk about each other quite differently, you know, and things like that. We say things, old brother so-and-so, man, he's losing all his hair, man, he's going bald and all. Ladies don't talk about each other like that. They don't, they may, I don't know. Bless her heart, you know. Anyways, guys, we're hard on each other. We don't care. Ladies are really kind and sweet and nice most of the time. It's when you make them mad that things get real ugly. Amen. And all the men would say amen, but they're scared right now. You know, I've said that before, man. He's a good brother. You ever say that? He's a good brother. Man, she's a good sister. Things like that. Here's why I bring that up. Because we know that that's a general term that applies to a host of things within a person's character. And the reality is this, it's the same here. Rather than listing the multitude of things about Saul that would, you know, break it down, God just describes him as he's goodly. Goodly, and it literally means all of these things. It means this, he's gracious, he's joyful, he's kind, he's loving, he's happy. He's happy. Some of you are like, just get to it, old man. Let's move along. Saul would have been the type of young man that everyone would have wanted to be around or, you know, even aspire to be. But I want you to note the end of verse number 2 there. So it talks about that he was goodlier and that there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. But then it says this, from his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. See, it describes his physical stature as being head and shoulders above all the people. You know what that means? That means this, he was tall. When envisioning, and I don't know about you, but this is what I think, but when envisioning a king, Saul, I'm just telling you, Saul fit the bill. Saul was it. Saul, and no doubt, I mean, the physical characteristics of Saul, I mean, once he's called to be the king, and it's made public, for the most part, the people are going to look at him and go, yeah, I can see that. I mean, he's just a tall guy. I mean, he's not some little, skinny, weakly. He's a tall man. You know what I mean? And he's, and I'm not knocking the little, short, skinny guys. I'm just saying he's just kingly in stature. But here's the important thing to note. Character is mentioned before his physical stature. Well, why is that? Well, because his character was of far greater value than how tall he was. Because character matters to God, and this demonstrates that. Now, listen, now here's the thing. Now, please listen to this. Now, when I say this, that God cares about the inward man more than he does the outward appearance, let's not take that out of context. Well, God, man, like the air just went out of the room. But please listen to this. Let's not take, even 1 Samuel 16, when God anoints David to be king and says this, that he looketh upon the heart. Let's not take that to an extreme and use it to justify not caring about our outward appearance at all. That's not what I'm saying here. This is not, and I'm just telling you, I've heard people do that. And this is not a justification to dress ungodly. If those things don't matter, then why did God specify in His Word godly attire for men and godly attire for women and that it should be worn by His people? I'm just telling you, it's in His Word and we should still follow it. But what I'm trying to get across to you is this, is that there's no sense worrying about all of this out here if this isn't here, isn't right. See, that's the idea. The point in looking at this is to warn us not to spend so much time dealing with the outward man while at the same time we neglect the inward man, because that's exactly what the world does today. And if we're not careful, God's people can fall into that same pattern. But you need to understand that it's character. It is the character of the inward man that God is primarily concerned with tonight. Gym memberships are on the rise while church memberships are falling. shopping stores and, you know, places of entertainment, they are busy and crowded on Sundays while churches are quiet and sparse. The devil is having a heyday today, keeping lost man blind in his sin by distracting him with the outward appearance. And he's not even considering his inward man and his own soul and his character before God. And what I'm afraid of is this, is that we as God's people are following the same pattern. It's scary today because people aren't praying. People aren't spending time in their Word every day. People aren't walking with God. People aren't being filled with His Spirit. But isn't it amazing how we can have the outward man all dolled up? And ladies got the makeup and their hair just right. And listen, I'm not knocking that stuff. You know my motto, if the barn needs painting, paint it. I'm all for it. Go for it. Whatever the case may be. And even the guys, man, they got their stuff, you know, and they got their dimples just right and their ties. And I can remember Luke when he was combing his hair and he's trying to get that flop just right in the front. Man, I hate that stuff. I'm like, cut it all off and low maintenance. If I got to spend more than 2 minutes on my hair, I need a haircut. You don't understand what I'm saying? But listen, that's... And I'm not against any of that. I'm telling you, we're living in a world where nothing is sacred, and I'm sick of it. I'm sick of that stuff. I think it's disrespectful that you go to a funeral in blue jeans and a t-shirt. And it's disrespectful to come into the house of God and still wearing a ball cap. And it's disrespectful. Nothing is sacred anymore. And people need to learn to have respect. And respect for themselves. And even if you don't respect yourself, respect the people around you enough to dress decent. Walmart is not a place where you wear your pajamas. It's just not. It's ungodly. It's heathen. It's disrespectful. Mercy. I'm feeling good tonight now. I've got coffee's going. I'm telling you, and just because it's cold doesn't mean you put two pairs of pajamas on. Son, listen, we were in a restaurant about 3 months ago and sitting down with all our kids. A whole family comes in their pajamas eating in the restaurant. I'm like, really? Get takeout, you lazy bum. I'm so sick of that stuff. And man, I don't mean to get wound up on this stuff tonight, but I'm just tired of nothing is sacred. So listen, you got to understand this tonight. I'm thankful that I get to pastor Faith Baptist Church and we still dress in a way that honors and pleases God. We wear our best. Now listen, if your best is a pair of blue jeans and a shirt, that's fine, or whatever the case may be. But I'm just telling you, friend, there's some things that ought to be sacred. But God help us if we're spending all our time on this out here and we're not dealing with this at all right here. Because I'm telling you, we got to understand that character comes first when it comes to our God. Now, Mercy, I got to move on and stop venting here and kind of move on here pretty quickly. But look at verses 3 through 10, because here's the other thing that I notice about Saul's character. It is how we treat the little things that will reveal our character. It is how we treat the little things that will reveal our character. Look at verse number 3. It says this, And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to Saul, his son, take now one of the servants with thee and arise and go seek the asses. And so beginning here, we are shown how God's working here. And again, crossing the paths of Saul and Samuel so that Samuel can make known God's calling on his life to be king. But it's also in these little things here that take place within the life of Saul that we see his goodly character from verse number 2. We see it beginning to be revealed that they are small things in the sight of man. But this is the way I look at it. They're large in the sight of God. Saul falls into that common pattern throughout Scripture. That pattern is this, to be faithful in the small things, because that prepares you for the big things. Character is not one who refuses to do anything until you get the responsibility you want. Character is the one that's faithful in the little things so that when the big things come, you're ready and you'll be faithful in them. Far too often, God's people want the keys to the kingdom, so to speak, without proving their faithfulness in the little things. I remember when I was pastoring in Cassville, and we had a family that joined the church, and really sweet family. They were from another independent Baptist church. It was actually a church from Kansas, and we were glad to have them and loved on them and things like that. And man, they came in, and they were there for just a little while, and they had done a few small things, but man, I can remember the guy just got all offended and upset because he expected greater attention from us and an opportunity for him and his family to serve in the church. They were all bent out of shape because I didn't hand over the keys to the kingdom and just give them everything and turn over everything. But because here's the thing. Listen, you got to be faithful in the little things. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. And if you're not willing to be faithful in the little things, what makes you think you're ready for the big things? Truth of the matter is, when he got that attitude and got offended and left the church, that revealed right there to me, I should have never given him anything in the first place. But here's the point. That's not what, that you understand, that this is the pattern that Christ has set before us. Have character and do the little things. And if you want to know if you have this type of character, you ought to ask yourself some of these questions tonight. Look here again at verse number 3. It's pretty interesting. The asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost, and Kish said to Saul, his son, take now one of the servants with thee and arise and go seek the ashes. Listen to this. How do you respond to authority? I got to be honest with you tonight. I look at this tonight, and Saul was a young man here, an adult young man. And when his father came and gave him instruction, he followed it. And he didn't refuse it. He didn't go kicking and screaming. No. He understood that even though he was a young man, and even though he was a young adult, he understood that his father still bears some kind of authority in his life. And so he did what his father asked him to do. How do you respond to authority? How do you respond when given instruction by your peers? Young people, how do you respond when your parents give you instruction? What about your teacher? Adults, what about your boss at work? How do you listen? Here's a good one. Here's a real good one. How do you handle correction? Because in this generation, usually everything is fine until somebody comes along and corrects you. And see, that's when all of a sudden you become a major victim, and those in authority are quote unquote toxic. And everyone, listen, and everyone in your family's offended. And that's a big reason, listen, that's a big reason right there why there's a lot of people in our pews in our churches today, and they cannot be used by God because they're so offended by authority. How do you respond to authority? Here's the second thing. Here's the second thing. How do you handle the smaller tasks? If you look at verse number 4, here's what happens. And he passed through Mount Ephraim. They passed through the land of Shalisha, and they found them not. And then they passed through the land of Shalem, and they were not there. Then they passed through all the land of the Benjamites, and they found them not. And then they were come to the land of Suph. Man, they were outside of their own territory. They crossed the state line and went over to Missouri. Saul said to his servant that was with him, come and let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses and take thought for us. Saul, the reality was this. Saul was sent on a menial task, looking for donkeys that had escaped. That's like chasing cats. However, he didn't view it lightly. We see this by his faithfulness to search. He went into several surrounding areas, ventured outside of the territory looking for them. And then when it got to be too far and too long, he became concerned for his father. And I'm just telling you tonight, that's pretty responsible for a young man. You understand what I'm saying? But let me ask you something. Listen, it's a menial task. Go look for the donkeys that got out. How do you handle menial tasks? The small things people give you to do. Small. Are they beneath you? Things that need to be done. Maybe it wasn't given to you, but you know that it needs to be done around the house or whatever the case may be. Are they beneath you? Listen. Do you get angry while you're doing them, thinking of all the other people that should be doing this instead of you? Now, I'm just saying that because I've never had that thought before. Hopefully you got my sarcasm there. Do you quit? Do you do them half-heartedly? Because here's what character does. Character does it regardless. And it does it wholeheartedly for the glory and honor of God. Here's the third one. I want you to listen to this one. Look at verse number 6. And he said unto him, so Saul said unto his, his servant said unto Saul, said, Behold now, there is in the city a man of God. He is an honorable man, and all that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now let us go hither, peradventure he can show us our way that we should go. Then Saul said to the servant, Behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man of God? And of course, he talks about the bread being spent. They really don't have anything. But then the servant answered in verse number 8. And Saul answered Saul again and said, Behold, I have here at hand the fourth part of a shekel of silver, and I will give to the man of God to tell us our way. Servant's been holding out, man. He had money the whole time. And Saul agreed to that in verse number 10 there. But this is what here's the third thing tonight about these, how little things can reveal your character. How do you treat the man of God? No, it's in the text. See, after not finding the asses and ready to turn back, and they were ready to turn back, Saul's servant suggests to him to visit the local man of God, that would be Samuel, so that he might instruct them as to where and go to find the donkeys. However, Saul objected at first because he didn't have any money to give the man of God. He had nothing to offer for him. And it was their way. You understand, giving something was their way of expressing their gratitude. It's no different than the New Testament where we just studied in 1 Timothy where the man of God is to receive double honor. It's just to respect and to show gratitude. But here's the point. His respect for the man of God, again, it demonstrated that goodly character. Here's what I know, and I'll just give you some personal testimony tonight. In my life, when I was a young man in church, when my heart wasn't right with God and my character was poor, I had little regard for the man of God. Just honestly confessing it to you tonight. In fact, he was usually the first I would criticize and slander. He was the first person I would blame for my issues. It was amazing how quickly I could destroy his character while at the same time utterly refuse to acknowledge anything that I did was ever wrong. But I also found this, that when I got right with God, and I did care about character in my life, I had to get right with my pastor. And I can remember sitting in the office of Pastor Abel's and crying like a big baby and apologizing for some things that I had said and some things that I had thought towards him and falsely accused him of. And I'm very thankful that he didn't hang it over my head for the next few weeks. Maybe he did, and I just didn't realize it, but I'm very thankful for that. When you're a Christian, the man of God has the responsibility to give you the Word of God. And therefore, your treatment of him is a direct reflection of your character towards God. And what I would say to you tonight is this, is that when somebody has little character, they'll have zero respect for the man of God. But when they have goodly character, they have the utmost respect. Now here's the last thing, believe it or not, and I'm done tonight. Look down at verse number 21. I almost said this is the shortest message I think I've had in quite a while tonight, but I didn't want to ruin it and jinx it for you. Look at verse 21 tonight. We didn't read this. Look at verse 21. So this is after the call. It's been revealed, Saul answered and said, Am not I a Benjamite, the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore then speakest thou so to me? Here's the third thing tonight about character. So God cares about the inward man far more than He does the outward man. It's the small things that in life that will reveal your character. But here's the third thing. Character starts with thinking little of yourself. I don't think it's of no coincidence why we live in a culture that so lacks character. Because we are a selfish, self-centered people. But I'm just telling you tonight, character starts with thinking little of yourself. Though we will see this next week in Saul's calling, this is what Samuel was referring to in 1 Samuel 15. Saul thought little of himself, though he was bigger than everybody else physically. Inwardly, he thought himself to be lower than everybody else. He was of the tribe of Benjamin, the least of all the tribes. I don't have time tonight, but you're going to go back to the book of Judges and you can find out why. The tribe of Benjamin became a wicked people, men of Belial. As a result, they were almost completely annihilated by the other tribes. But this just goes to show you and I tonight that when it comes to being used or even exalted by our God, it's not about what you did in the past, but your character now. And God forgave Benjamin and pulls a young man from their tribe to be the first king. But let me also say this tonight, it's not about how talented you are either. You have all the talent in the world, but if you don't have character, listen, you won't even last in the sports world, much less the spiritual world. Character is greater than talent. Character is what is needed to develop talent. But here's the point tonight. Character starts with an attitude like this in our text. That of humility, that of lowliness, and that's when, listen, that's when character begins to take shape, and God begins to dial your number and begins to exalt you and use you for your honor, for His honor and His glory. How true this verse is, and I want you to take your Bibles tonight and turn to James chapter 4, and I'm done. James chapter 4, look at this verse. Honestly, I could quote it to you tonight. It's a great passage on how to get broken before God, how to get humility, how to have God's grace on your life, God's hand on your life. But really, it's summarized in James chapter 4. And look at verse number 10. Here's what it says. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. That's God's economy. It's not us. Listen, no, it's not about us exalting ourselves and trying to show off ourselves and trying to lift up ourselves. It's about us getting humble and getting low, developing character. And then when God says it's time, God will say, hey, I want to use you right here. I want to put you over here. I want to use you right here for my honor and for my glory. I'm just telling you tonight, character matters. And if it matters to Him, then it ought to matter to us. And I'm just telling you, if we want to get to the place where God uses us, we've got to become a people of character tonight. Let's all stand.